Hey y'all, thanks for tuning in to this week's recording of Redeemer Church of Knoxville's Sunday Sermon. We're really glad to have you with us because we know that there are a million different podcasts that you could be listening to right now. So we're thankful that you've chosen to spend some of your day with us. We hope that this recording will be an encouragement to you and that God, by His Spirit, will use His Word to remind you of Jesus' love. If you would like to reach out to us, we would love to hear from you. To do that, please email us at office@redeemerknoxville.org. We also want to give a quick thank you shout out to Evie Andrus and Parker Green, who you hear playing our awesome intro and outro music here each week. Lastly, if you'd like to support Redeemer in her mission to Urban and University Knoxville, please visit www.redeemerknoxville.org and look for the little give button in the top right corner. Thank you so much, and here is this week's sermon.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. My name, if we haven't met, is Rob Heron. I'm the assistant pastor here at Redeemer, and we're truly grateful to be with you for part of your morning. And to steal some lines from Slate, we know that there are a million different places you could be right now, doing a million different things. You could be opening a present and then squealing with delight because someone knew to get you those knee-high socks with sloths on them that say Merry Slothmas. You could be drinking eggnog straight from the jug. You could be listening to your Mariah Carey vinyl of All I Want for Christmas Is You that's so lovingly worn that all it does is skip and play Santa Claus Won't Make Me Happy over and over again. Santa Claus won't make me happy. And that's all it does over and over again. You could be doing that, but instead you're here with us. And again, as we say, there really is nothing better that you could be doing than worshiping Jesus. Considering his claims upon your life and thinking on his kindness and the power of his salvation. And so to help us do that this morning, we're looking at Luke chapter 2, 22 to 35. This is a story that draws us to come and behold Jesus. You can find the passage printed in your bulletin, or if you want to, you can look along in one of the Bibles that's provided in your row on page 857 through 858. So if you would read with me Luke chapter 2, 22 through 35. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Would you pray with me now for the teaching? Father, we thank you that you have shown us the truth. You give us truth. And here at Christmas, we ask that you would give it to us, you would show it to us, and you would set us free. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever really get what you want for Christmas? Do you ever really get what you want for Christmas? I think for some of us, the answer may be no, because no one has ever really given you that exact present that you want more than any other. What I want is a little bit too expensive. Like what I really want is a luxury blow dryer covered in Swarovski rose gold crystals. That's what I really want. And so no one got that for me. And no one's gonna sling that kind of cash for yours truly. But maybe even this morning, maybe you did get the exact present that you've wanted and that you've been meditating upon. You did get the train set. You got the doll. Or you got the Merry Slothmas socks. And yet, after the moment of ecstatic fulfillment, of getting exactly what you thought that you wanted, thinking that if I got this train set, then I wouldn't want anything else ever again. That moment passes and you crash. And you find yourself looking around at the presents around you. You start counting how many presents you have compared to how many your friends have or your brother and sister has. Or maybe you notice that someone around you still has presents to open when you opened all of them within 10 seconds and you're starting to regret it. Do you really get what you want at Christmas? If Christmas is about getting exactly and fully what we want, none of us ever do. And that's true whether we get the exact gifts that we've asked for or not. Because no matter how great the gifts are, they fade. No matter how wonderful and grammable your time is with your friends and family, it in the end is a bit of a letdown. Because Christmas, if it's about me and getting exactly what I want, is inevitably, no matter what, always a letdown. And so we're a bit like Lucy as she confesses to Charlie Brown. I know how you feel about all this Christmas business, getting depressed and all that. It happens to me every year. I never get what I really want. I always get a lot of worthless toys or a bicycle or clothes or something like that. And Charlie Brown asks, "What do you want?" Lucy, "Real estate." But like Lucy, even if we got that sweet piece of real estate, even if we got it, it wouldn't be all that we hope for. And yet, here is the good news. Christmas is not about getting exactly what you want. It's not about getting exactly what you want. Christmas is, this is good news, about the frustration of your wants. And it's about getting more than you want. It's about getting more than you want, because Christmas really is about Jesus. And so this is what I want us to see here in this moment, is that the invitation of Christmas is come and behold him. Come and behold him. Come and behold Jesus. Focus your attention on him. Come and learn to receive from him all that he has to give you. Come and begin to want what he wants. Come and behold him. And as we come and behold him, what we see are these two fundamental, powerful, transformative things that relate to our longing hearts, our hearts that have so many wants at Christmas. And the first thing we come and behold and see is that Jesus is the sword through every longing heart. He's the sword through every longing heart. And that does not sound very Christmassy, a sword through your heart. But it's exactly what Simeon says about Jesus in Luke chapter 2. After Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary, they brought him to Jerusalem, and there was this man there named Simeon, who apparently, he seems to be older, advanced in years. We're told in verse 26 that it had been revealed to him, you can see, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So God selected Simeon to act as a prophet, so that after however many years of waiting, as soon as the Messiah arrived, the one in whom Israel had had all of its hope, comfort, rescue from sin, as soon as he arrived, Simeon would know him by sight. So the Holy Spirit would make him ready to cry out, "He's here! He's actually here!" And so as soon as Joseph and Mary enter the temple, you can see in verse 28, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God. Simeon is God's instrument. He's proclaiming to Mary and to us, he's here. Come and behold him. In his words, he's revealing who this child is. And so who is he? He's the sword through every longing heart. Simeon tells Mary in verse 34, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, a sign that is opposed." Jesus, God's own son, is appointed to be a sign that is opposed. He's a witness to God that people will reject. Why would we, though? Why would we reject this sign, reject Jesus? Well, it's because he has come to say no to our wants that are so at bedrock bottom, in direct conflict with what God wants. He's come to drive a sword through our longing hearts because our hearts on their own stand opposed to God and his kingdom. which means that our longing hearts, they don't need a pat on the head and a your wish is my command kind of treatment. They need to be healed. And so Jesus, as a surgeon, he has to cut in order to mend. He has to kill desires in order to bring to life new ones. He has to say no to our demands, and it's not spelled out for us, but we immediately jump in our minds to Mary standing before the cross, watching her own son die in agony. Even Simeon himself, we should recognize that the arrival of Jesus in the temple meant that his life had come to an end. He's going to die after this. So we might expect him, in seeing Jesus enter the temple, to reenact Michael Scott seeing the return of Toby to the office. No, please, no, no. That's what we might expect. Simeon's words, they show us who Jesus is. He's an announcement of, the sign of, the death of our wants. He's a sword through our hearts. So picture Ralphie in the cinema classic A Christmas Story, right? Scrambling up the slide to declare to Santa his one great Christmas wish. I want a Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. And Santa, with his furry boot on Ralphie's head, slowly and surely pushes him back down the slide into the pit of despair that Santa's saying no to your greatest wish. Santa combats Ralphie's great longing with these infamous words. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. The death to our attempt to control every aspect of our lives and of our future. He is death of making everything about me. Jesus is the sword through every longing heart. And so Simeon's words, they confront and combat our hearts this morning with this Christmas question. Will we fight Jesus? Will we oppose him? Or will we yield? Hold him. He's the sword through every longing heart. But he's not just the sword through every longing heart. He's also the joy of every longing heart. He's the joy of every longing heart. So when Simeon takes the infant in his arms, it should amaze us. He, in that moment, right then and there, he's immediately ready to die. He's been waiting for who knows how long for the reversal of Israel's fortunes. He's been waiting for this moment when the Messiah would arrive and salvation would come in fullness. But in the moment he holds Jesus, he's holding this baby. He, in that moment, knows that Israel is still under the thumb of another empire. God's enemies still seem to rule the world. And yet, holding and beholding Jesus, Simeon speaks this blessing in verse 29, you can see. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Jesus is the salvation that God promised his people. This little infant human form, tiny hands, tiny feet, tiny eyes, tiny ears. He is every bit of God's promises fulfilled. He is every bit of the salvation that Simeon has longed for. And not only what he has longed for, not only what Israel has longed for, he is every bit of what the world has longed for. He is the joy of every longing heart. But what does that mean? Does that mean that Jesus is going to give us everything exactly that we want? Once again, no. Once again, notice the sword sticking out of your heart. No, he is the joy of our longing hearts in the sense that he is the yes. He's the answer to our best longings, the longings that God inscribed into our hearts the moment he sang us into being. We long for love. We long for meaning. We long for purpose. We long to belong. And Jesus is every bit the yes to those longings. And still, though, there's more to it than that. Jesus is our heart's joy in the way that joy always seems to operate. It surprises us. Jesus surprises us by giving us so much more than we would ever have even known to ask for. He is more than salvation for Israel. He's rescue for the whole world. He is more than what Mary could have known or wanted to ask for. He's more than a son who would grow to middle age and move into a house down the street. He is God's own son who would make her a daughter by her being adopted in himself. He is the Savior who would come and live within her own longing heart. She lost him for a moment, and then she gains him for eternity. How could Mary have known to ask for that? How could Mary have dared to hope for that? But that's the sort of joy that Jesus is. He surprises us with a divine yes that heals the very wounds that he inflicted with his no. He heals our hearts and he expands our hearts to hold the grand weight of what he gives, so much more than we ever thought we could ever hope for. At Carol Wheel this past Wednesday night, I loved watching the children from Redeemer play in the snow. We'll call it fake snow, we'll call it machine-generated snow, playing in it as it pumped by the gallon out of this machine into the 45-degree air and coating the sidewalk. And as I was watching this, out of the corner of my eye, I saw my 2-year-old, Faye, do what she is so often want to do, make an in-the-moment decision to bolt for Highland Avenue right as I saw a car passing along the street. And I a bit too loudly yelled, "No!" And my wife, Mary Lee, went and ran and grabbed her and pulled her back. And this, understandably, made Faye angry. It made her upset. Because from her perspective, this was incredibly cruel. What a letdown. I didn't get to do what I wanted. But in that moment, I put into practice the only art of parenting that I've been able to master, which is the art of distraction. So I went and I grabbed Faye and I took her over to the machine generated snow, and I hoisted her up with her face directly in the firing line of that not so great tasting, very machine generated snow, so that it blasted her right in the face. I don't think that's what she would have asked for. I don't know that she would have known to ask for that. But her squeal of delight said it all. A blast of even machine-generated snow to the face was far more, far better than what she would have asked for, what she thought she wanted running into Highland Avenue. It's in this sort of way that Jesus is the joy of our longing hearts. He is the love that we crave. He is the meaning we hunger after. He is the purpose we seek. He is the belonging we long for. And yet also, he is the surprising fulfillment of all of those longings. He is God's yes to those longings in ways that we never would have thought up or asked for. He pulls us away from what we so thought that we wanted, and he hoists us up into the firing line of God's grace, an outpouring of God's own heart to ours. We wouldn't have known to ask for this for him. We would not have asked for him. But this is exactly why Jesus came into the world, turned away from the God who our hearts are meant for. And in doing so, our wish list got so small. And so Jesus came into the world to give us himself. And in giving us himself, he heals our hearts and he expands our hearts to hold the massive, infinite weight of the gifts that he gives. He makes us able to want not less, but more and better. He brings death to our hearts so he might bring them to new life, to begin to want and to receive the beauty of God's own heart. And so here is the invitation of the real Christmas. Come and behold him. He is the joy of every longing heart. So come and behold him. And as you behold him, hold him, receive him, receive his work in your life that would expand your own longing heart, that truly never lets down, but gives you so much more than you ever would have known to ask. And so we come here to the table. Here at the table, we come to Jesus and we behold him as he's offered to us in the gospel. Here at the table, we have God's no to the lie that the best we could hope for is getting exactly what we want. And here at the table, we have God's yes to the promise to do so much more than that, to give us himself. So come and behold him.